Welcome to season one of the Navuna Business Finance Sustainability Podcast. In this first season, we're getting the viewpoints from people within the business on how important sustainability is from them. So for our first episode, our guest today is Philippe Bazin, Head of Sustainability Energy Green Infrastructure Team at Navuna Business Finance. Welcome to you, Philippe. Tell me a little bit about you.
I started off my journey in working life not really knowing what I wanted to do. And I was very lucky in that a little job ad that I picked out of nowhere introduced me to four individuals who opened my eyes to the world of sustainable infrastructure. Back then, it was about building new schools and hospitals. But with a passion for finance, I really loved the idea that the purpose of the finance was something that was beneficial for society. I was very lucky. I don't know how I got the job, but I was given the job as the head of environmental lending by a really forward-thinking Dutch sustainable bank called Triodos Bank, Triodos. And they taught me a huge amount. And I got that job in part because I did a bit of pro bono work when I worked for Grant Thornton, which introduced me to some really interesting small local groups in Bristol, one which was called Bristol Green Doors. They were putting on open show home events for individuals to visit other individuals' homes to learn about how they've made their homes more energy efficient. And I guess all of these introductions, these conversations opened my eyes and turn me towards what I love doing, Richie, which is sustainable finance, which is why I'm here at Navuna.
So there wasn't really one sort of light bulb moment for you. It's something that has developed throughout your career. You've been interested in it, plus your background in finance. It's something that has grown within you.
Yeah, and I think that what I've been lucky is in some ways I've also managed to learn different pieces from different people. I've worked with great people. People who were pioneers in their field. So, in my previous job, I had somebody in my team who was Mr. Black Hat. He was the beady-eyed old school banker, but he was one of the first to set up Triodos Bank in the UK. And he was one of the first people to project finance a wind turbine project in this country. So, I've learned from some people who are fantastic in terms of the skill set, in terms of how they teach you to look at risk and how to look at sustainability. So, I've been very lucky.
When you worked with someone like that, who obviously was forward-thinking ahead of their time, you could say, how did that make you feel? Did that make you more determined that finance could play its part in renewables, for example?
You know, a lot of people feel like they're disempowered in this battle against climate change. But actually, the key to change is really about how we decide, spend and invest our money. And just that simple principle of those decisions, those individual decisions, how they can actually take all together, create a tidal wave of change. And that's not something that you're used to. When you work for a financial institution, you don't think a financial institution would talk like that, would think like that. And I think that whole concept of purpose behind, how we invest, how we lend, to what we're lending is very simple, but it has a potential to be quite revolutionary.
Which leads us nicely into the business that you do now. Tell me a little bit about what you do here.
Me and my team, a mighty team of four, soon to be six, we've gone about setting out a suite of product offerings to help finance sustainable energy and sustainable projects at scale. And the offering is to support projects through the different phases of their evolution. So what we call the development phase, which is all of the work that needs to be done to get a project to the point where it can be built. So that's about finding a site, grid connections, planning consents. Then we've got a product that then helps finance the construction of the project and then the operational phase. So we're on the beginning of a journey. We're very focused in terms of our technologies. We're just starting in with a very narrow focus, and that's really to build confidence internally in our approach and then having kind of proven the concept, demonstrated the rigor of the approach, we're planning to then start to expand to look at other technologies, which will include sustainable heat and
is it different providing this kind of finance for projects? As you say, they're very innovative, they're changing all the time, they're global projects. It must be harder, perhaps, to look forward and say, this project is worth investing in, or how does our investment really drive this forward?
Yeah, so I would say that the nuts and bolts of our product offering is not new. It's a very well-defined standard approach, and that's a good thing. From a finance world perspective, what we're trying to do also is it and we try to evolve that. So I talk about evolution, not revolution, in terms of the product approach. And then what we're doing is actually focusing on really scalable, proven technologies. So where there's a big requirement for investment and funding, we're actually looking at proven, scalable, but nonetheless, you know, challenging in their own ways, lending opportunities, which an organization like ours is best suited to support. You know, with finance, you have different risk profiles and different return requirements. And we're a large global Japanese group. And I would describe our risk appetite as, you know, low to medium risk, and our return requirements as low to medium return requirements. So you've got to find a home for that balance of risk and reward in the markets where you want to operate, and you structure the products around that.
And what impact do you think that this approach is making on sustainability?
Well, I think that in our own small way, this business, and I can't take any credit for that because it started well before I joined, has been relatively pioneering, particularly in the space of the supporting electrification of transport. And there's a bit of a chicken and egg dilemma with the adoption of electric vehicles. In order to have an electric vehicle, you need somewhere to charge. And if you don't have the charging infrastructure, you don't have the vehicle. But the problem is, you're investing in electric vehicle charging infrastructure without necessarily knowing that the demand is there. So it takes a courageous first step to recognize that the direction of travel on this is inevitable. It's a question of when rather than if. And this business took a courageous first step. So we'll continue to push supporting the modern, what I call the modern business models in today's sustainable energy and sustainable transport markets. Those are models which are not based on the old world of government subsidies, but based on taking merchant risks, so not having more risk around your revenues and the like. So from that perspective, you know, I'd say we are at the relative forefront of the markets for a debt lender.
And how important is this approach that you have in terms of helping smaller businesses or SMEs to achieve their sustainability goals as well?
SMEs are actually the lifeblood of our division. And the very exciting thing for me is that we're very focused on the what I call the heroes of our sector. They are those smaller SME type businesses with very experienced individuals who have been around for quite a while, who know how to develop, build and operate projects successfully, and who are continuing to push those boundaries, but have got the experience, have got the skill set, have got the resources, but don't have, I guess, the financial standing and the balance sheet to deliver the ultimate scale of their ambitions. Ultimately, we're all about trying to help deliver a project. And that's the exciting thing bit. I mean, as a lender, it's not the money that's exciting. It's what the money that the use of the money and the purpose, which is what it's all about. And so we're really proud to be able to support them and play a small part in helping them.
Sustainability has been around for a long time. Is it just now that SMEs are really coming alive to it, that are realizing that actually they do have to take practical measures, whether it's being enforced, enshrined in law, or whether it's actually just the right thing to do?
Yes, for certain types of industries and sectors, there are regulatory and legislative drivers that say you've got to do this. Then there's a general awareness that actually waste is unsustainable. So for a lot of businesses, they're looking at, you know, where are they paying too much? So there's an economic imperative to start looking at waste. And behind that actually comes the idea of efficiency, which efficiency is more sustainable. And then there are other drivers as well in terms of societal change. So if you want to attract the best talent, for example, you need to have a strong diversity strategy around your talent acquisition and talent retention plans. And so I think that's also playing a part.
But for whatever reasons they're coming to it, when you look forward to 2024 and beyond, do you see this journey, this sustainability journey, particularly for SMEs, do you see it gathering momentum, growing?
I think, you know, we've done the beginning work, which is getting our credit policies ready to support investment. But the trigger has got to come from the SMEs themselves making those investment decisions. So one thing I would say to any SME business owner that has got the medium to long term in mind is there are some fundamental changes that are happening in the world of finance, which will make it the most important business imperative for them to become more sustainable. And those changes have got to do with the Bank of England and the regulator.
We have this fact from a survey that we've done, that 40% of small business leaders would regard having a sustainability expert on the board of directors as essential. What's your reaction to that? Are you surprised? Are you horrified? Are you think it's a good start? 40% of businesses, so that's less than half.
I'd say that's a good start, because I think if you did the same survey only 5 years ago, I'd have thought that number would be much lower. And I think in all of this, it's about direction of travel. Sadly, 40% is quite a good number. It obviously needs to be higher, but it's hopefully the direction of travel is upwards. With all of these things, this is not something, transformation that happens overnight. It takes years for the thinking to evolve, for the understanding to develop. And so, we target 2050. We've not got much time at all. If we can get 40 to 60, I think, you know, we could get 40 to 60. That particular piece doesn't take long. You know, I think you could get 40 to 60 to 80 within 5 years quite easily. The challenge around that is also not to overcomplicate everything. There are some really simple things that a lot of people, a lot of businesses can do today. And it's about, there's an oft word, you know, the low-hanging fruit are there.
And what's one of those low-hanging fruit? What's one of those pieces of fruit that someone could pick as an SME?
If you look at the carbon footprint of most businesses, whether that's their employees, whether that's their activities, their energy footprint is going to be quite large. If you look at your Scope 1, Scope 2, Scope 3 emissions, who you work with and who you buy from, because under these carbon reporting frameworks, the good thing is you're seen as being responsible for the emissions of your products that you sell to your customers, but also all of the goods and services that you're using to get there. So your supply chain. I think if you kind of start to use your 80-20 Pareto rule, looking at your energy consumption, looking at your transport emissions, you could already do quite a good job of decarbonizing.
Philip Bateson, thank you very much indeed.
Welcome.